Many people seem to feel that they can choose how they are going to minister. They choose who they're going to minister to. They choose how they're going to minister. That's absolutely wrong. It is the Lord that chooses how we minister, and He reveals that in His Word. And it is up to us to obey Him, as we'll see.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, by and large, the church today is looking for creative ways to help people grow in their faith. Yet, they often leave out the number one tool needed for true spiritual growth.
Dave, you're right, and that number one tool is the Word of God in the context of an obedient heart, willing to do whatever God says. Okay, with this in mind, let's look at Ezekiel's call from chapter 2 of the book of Ezekiel.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from this series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, the world functions based on their own desires and wisdom. Those who are not saved the way we were before we got saved, we just thought, okay, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, I'm going to do it my way. I want this, do this or that. Now, once we come to faith in Christ, we realize that He's in control of everything and that we want to do His will and not our will. But yet, in the moment, we can get caught up in things thinking that they might be biblical and say, okay, we're going to do that because it's biblical. We need to be careful. We need to be careful what God's will is and what His timing is. In James chapter 4, or James chapter 5, we see in the end of 4, that if we are to say something to the effect of, we'll go do this and this in such a place, you know, in a year and make a profit, sounds pretty okay, right? Well, it's not if you're a believer. The Lord makes it clear that that's arrogant. It's worldly and arrogant in the context of not trusting the Lord. We should say in our heart of hearts and believe, you know, if the Lord wills. We don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. Now, what's interesting is when we get to the area of ministry, I found it very interesting as I've seen and observed over many years and talked to quite a few people that many people seem to feel that they can choose how they are going to minister. They choose who they're going to minister to. They choose how they're going to minister. Now, I would posit to you, based on what we see in James and what we will see today in the book of Ezekiel, is that that's absolutely wrong. It is the Lord that chooses how we minister, and He reveals that in His Word, and it is up to us to obey Him, as we'll see. So with that in mind, would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel, and we're beginning chapter 2 in our study of Ezekiel. Now, you might remember the context. I'm not going to share it all completely. You might remember that we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomos, it's the second law. The Lord is through Moses, as the Israelites are ready to enter the land after the generation of unbelief died off, shares the law again. And when we get to Deuteronomy 28, He shares the blessings and cursings of the old covenant that they had made with Him at Sinai. Blessings if they obeyed, cursings if they disobeyed, and very vividly laid the consequences to what He would do if they disobeyed, that they would be ejected, expelled in a very horrifying manner from the land. Well, we see throughout Israel's history that they continue to disobey the Lord. They continue to act in unbelief as the prophets continue to share with them to repent and to do what is right. They rejected that. After the kingdom was divided because of Solomon's sin, we see in 722 BC, according to God's discipline, the northern kingdom was taken captive by Assyria. And then we have the prophets continuing to warn Judah and Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, that they needed to repent. And yet we see that in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar took siege of Jerusalem. And we have that siege as the first siege. And then in 597, we have Jerusalem under siege again. That first siege, Daniel and his friends were taken captive. The second siege in 597, Ezekiel is taken captive along with 10,000 others. We know that 5 years from him being taken captive, we saw this in chapter 1, that he begins the ministry. He has this vision that we're going to see today that is continuing in what we'll study today. He has been in exile for 5 years. And this is before the third siege in 588 to 586, an 18-month siege of Jerusalem, which ends in the city being destroyed, walls torn down, temple destroyed, and the rest and remaining who were not killed taken exile. Now, as I've shared all along, the book of Ezekiel is centered around this third and final siege. The first 24 chapters are oracles leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege. And chapters 33 through 48 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, in light of this broader context, what's the near context? Well, we see Ezekiel is in captivity. He's been there for 5 years. He is 30 years old. We saw that in chapter 1. And he is prophesying, or will be prophesying, to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are yet to be judged and taken captive, and prophesying concerning the sins of those in captivity, as we'll see today. And although there has been two sieges and two deportations, those remaining in Judah and Jerusalem are saying peace and safety. They're listening to the voices of false assurance. We saw that in Jeremiah 28. The false prophets were denying that Jerusalem would fall. They were saying peace and safety, but God had made it clear his discipline was coming. Now, these evil voices of false assurance had spread to the captives in Babylon. And as we'll see today, Ezekiel's going to minister to them, and they are in sin, and they are hardened, they are stubborn, even after all this. Isn't this the message of false teachers today? We see those false guys back in Jerusalem. God will not judge you for your sin. He loves you so much. All is well. You don't need to change. You don't need to repent. That's what the bad guys were saying. Peace and safety. But God is saying that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. And so these bad guys were giving these testimonies in a sense of peace and safety, and the Israelites were listening to those voices of false assurance. Now remember, Ezekiel's name means God strengthened, and we'll see this next time. It's no coincidence because he would need to be strengthened in the midst of the difficulty. We'll see it today too. Now, as we've looked at this book and we've looked over through it and we've given an overview, we saw that the term the word of the Lord came to me over 50 times. It's about the word of the Lord. And we also see the phrase, then they will know that I am the Lord. That man comes to understand who the Lord is through two means, one through salvation and one through judgment. And so, as we come to our passage today, let's read chapter 2, verse 1. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. And I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words or be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Now, I believe we're going to see today, as we look at this passage, which is part of a larger portion, we're going to see that Ezekiel's call basically came in three elements. One, he is to listen, and then he's to go, and then he's to speak God's word. He's to listen to God's word and obey. He's to go to whom God sends him to, and he is to speak God's word, all in the context of obedience. That's what we're going to see his call is about. So let's take a look at the first principle, I believe, comes from our passage, that we need to humbly listen to him, and that the call to ministry, whatever ministry it might be, the ministry of the word of God, primarily here in this example, or the ministry of serving the Lord, or speaking and serving gifts, comes in the context of listening and obeying God's word, not our own wisdom and desires. Notice he says in verse 1, Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Now our passage begins with the word then, okay? And which points to the fact that we're in the middle of what we saw the last few times. We're in the middle of Ezekiel's vision. Remember, this vision is about the Lord on the throne, directing judgment coming from the north and having it done perfectly and in harmony through his angelic ministers, in a sense, as we say. We need to remember Ezekiel is by the river Shabar in Babylon as an exile, and he sees a great storm coming from the north. Saw this chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, signifying judgment. As we saw in Jeremiah, the Lord said, I am bringing them from the north to bring judgment. We saw that. And within that storm, there was a flashing fire and glowing metal. And remember, he calls the vision that he sees visions of God. And that's really important because, yes, there are the wheels in the sky, there are the wheels in the cherubim and all that, but this is primarily a vision of God. That's what he says in verse 4, visions of God. We see that. Now, there were four cherubim, and you can go back and hear the message. We talked about it and explained it. Just summarize here. Each with four wings, four faces, moving without turning at the absolute sovereign direction of the Lord. And they had coals of fire. We saw in chapter 10 of Ezekiel, it signified judgment as they were poured out over Jerusalem, chapter 10. And they darted about and moved like lightning. They moved at lightning speed. And between the cherubim were wheels, four total, and full of eyes. God's all-seeing, all-knowing. We see that. And they went up and down from the earth. We're going to see the wheels went up, and wherever they moved, they went back down. And there was that thunderous sound, as we saw, of the wings. We're going to see later on, after the Lord speaks to Ezekiel here in chapter 2 and 3, there's that sound of thunder again. As it ends, this is all going on in the background. And do you remember, after we saw the wheels and the eyes and the cherubim above those angelic beings who moved faithfully and without deviation, according to the will of God, there was an expanse like crystal. We saw in Revelation, it was like a sea of glass in a sense, right? And there was far above the expanse, far above, a throne. And on the throne was one in the appearance of a man. And we looked at it very clearly because he saw the glory of the Lord. And later on, it's the Lord speaking, the Lord God. It's the Lord on the throne. And you might remember the radiance around the one on the throne as a rainbow. I believe very clearly signifies the faithfulness and mercy and compassion of God in the midst of judgment. We saw that back with Noah. And this, he says, was the glory of the Lord, the end of chapter 1. And you might remember the point of the vision. God is on the throne. More specifically, Jesus Christ reigns above all, and he is in absolute sovereign control of everything. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his glory, as we see in Exodus 34, is intrinsically connected to his character traits of faithfulness, mercy, and compassion. As Moses said, show me thy glory, right? And it is in the midst of judgment that he is faithful, merciful, and compassionate as this judgment would come from the north. But what's the message to Ezekiel, who is not in Israel? What's the message? You are in Babylon. Jerusalem will be judged and destroyed by Babylon. They'll come from the north. But God is on the throne controlling all these events. He alone is sovereign, yet merciful, compassionate, faithful. Don't worry. Obey and fear and reverence and praise him. That's really what we saw. Fear and reverence and praise him. And isn't it wonderful to have our spiritual eyes turned heavenward through the Word of God? To see the Lord on his throne, to see him in charge, to see him sovereignly directing the events on earth for his glory, knowing that he takes even the evil that is done and turns it for good, causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so he is in control. So we have this glimpse that Ezekiel has in the heavenlies. And in the end of that portion in chapter 1, what was Ezekiel's response? Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, verse 28. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. And that's where we come into our passage. Heard a voice speaking. Then he said to me, we have the sovereign on the throne who is coming to bring forth judgment upon Israel for their sins, Jerusalem and Judah. And he is speaking now to Ezekiel. And folks, we need to have a right view of God. You know, yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. Praise the Lord. What a gracious God who took on human flesh. We have one who has not sinned but can sympathize with our weaknesses, yet without sin, right? We have a great high priest. But yet he is God on the throne. He is on the throne, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so at this point, Ezekiel falls on his face and he heard a voice speaking. Then he said to me, our passage, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Here we have the Lord addressing Ezekiel as Son of Man. Now, what's the significance of this? Ben Adam speaks of humanity. It speaks of the frailty of humanity. If you look in Psalm 144, and I'll read this for you, but you can note it down or turn there. O Lord, what is man that thou dost take knowledge of him? Or the son of man, see it is in parallel, that thou dost think of him. Man is like a mere breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Man is frail. Human beings are frail. We are a mere breath, a passing shadow. And so the Lord is saying, Son of Man. And I believe it's very important that we recognize before Ezekiel can serve the Lord, he needs to see himself rightly and he needs to see God rightly. God is on the throne, sovereign over everything, and he is his creation. He is just a human being, flesh and bone, Son of Man. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we're adequate to consider anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And on a side note, what an amazing thought that the God who was on the throne, God the Son, became the Son of Man. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself to take on human flesh, to be for a little while lower than angels, yet without sin, to die for our sins, to die on the cross, and he rose from the dead, that we might live. So do you have an accurate picture of who God is? We need to have an accurate picture of who he is before we go into ministry. And we're all going into ministry, by the way. We all are going to serve the Lord. We're all his bondservants. We need to see him rightly. If we see ourselves as something special, you know, I talked to one guy who wanted to be a pastor, and he said, you know, I'm really good public speaking. And I thought, oh boy, that's not good. God takes the weak things and the things that are not, that he might cause the things that are to be not, right? We're nothing before him. Now, he can use our skills and talents, but we're nothing, right? So then, we need to realize we are mere mortal creations and God is on the throne. And that's the basis here. Then he said to me, Son of Man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. It's emphatic. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speak to me. So God commands Ezekiel from the throne. He heard a voice. Remember, he was bowing down, and he says, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And God's Spirit entered him and set him on his feet so that he could hear what he was saying. By the way, you know, what God calls us to do, he will do it through us if we abide. His Spirit will do it. Stand on your feet. Spirit got him up, right? Brought him right up. And as he spoke, verse 2, to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. You know, I mentioned in the Old Testament, Ezekiel has a lot about the Holy Spirit. Not much in the Old Testament, but Ezekiel has a lot of portions in it. God's Spirit empowered by entering him to stand and thus hear. The term hear here is Shema. It means to listen with the intent of obeying. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, right? One God. And so Ezekiel is on his face, humble before God in his mighty throne and his glory, and God raises him up so that he can hear in the context of telling him to stand. Now, I think at times we can pick up a wrong focus from people who are all focused on worship, 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 worship. Ezekiel is worshiping, but he needs to stand up to hear the Lord and serve. He's got to get up off from bowing down to the ground and worshiping him to get up because God is going to speak to him. He's going to speak to him. And notice, he says here, and as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. I believe this passage also foreshadows some New Testament truth, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God cannot be separated, that the Spirit of God reveals the truth of God. 2 Peter 1:20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, written word, graphe, is a matter of one's own interpretation. Hey, you don't have the choice to interpret the way you want. He says here, for no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. John 16:13, Jesus shares with his disciples as he is leaving them. He's telling them about the comforter that's going to come. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. It is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and discloses it to the child of God. That's what we say. So as he spoke, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking. Now, on a side note, in the Old Testament times, we see the Spirit came upon God's people to empower them for temporary service, but would leave. When David was in his sin, he said, don't take that Holy Spirit. That was the Spirit empowering him as the king, I believe. That's what he's talking about. We know the Lord never leave us nor forsake us, but his Spirit came special in that time to empower. And here, it enters Ezekiel. What's interesting, we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, that the Spirit of Christ within the prophets, they were trying to determine who it was with the sufferings and the glories to come. 1 Peter 1:10. So then, we have here the Spirit entering Ezekiel to empower him. Now, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in this time. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Wow, we have so much more. We are so blessed, the down payment, completion of our salvation. We have God the Spirit in us forever. And it is by His Spirit that we are able to do what He calls us to do and speak of Him. Remember in the book of Acts, in the beginning, Jesus told His disciples to wait until the Spirit came. They were to go out and minister. They needed the Spirit of God to do so. You can turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. That's a good encouragement for those who are too caught up in prophecy. I've been mentioning this in the book of Zechariah. Hey, whatever God's revealed, praise the Lord. Let's know it and let's understand it. But don't go past that. We want to know the things that God hasn't revealed, and we get caught up and people pull us astray. Satan uses that to distract us. We need to know what God has said and believe what God has said, and there's plenty about the future. But here, the Lord says, hey, it's not for you to know those things. Okay? And he says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my testifiers, my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even the outermost part of the earth. It's not till the Spirit came that they could speak of Jesus, okay? Folks, we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We need to abide in Christ and Christ in us before we can hear His call. You know, if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not abiding in Him, you're never going to understand from the Word of God what He has called you to do. There's a lot of people that don't know how to serve the Lord, and I would posit to say it's because they're not walking in the Spirit. I posit to say that. Abiding in Christ. So then, we need to be yielded to the Spirit of God.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made a very important point in your message today, and as we wrap up our time together, I'd like you to expand on it a little bit.
Well, Dave, one of the things that I shared, which I believe is so important, is that if you're not walking by the Spirit, you're not walking in the Lord, you're not abiding in Christ, no matter how much you study the Word of God, you're never going to know what He's called you to do, and you're never going to function in the context of His true calling and gifting for you. We need to walk by the Spirit. We need to be obedient to the Lord. And it's when we're abiding in Christ and His Word works in our hearts by His Spirit to lead and direct us exactly in the way that He would have us go. And his word gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and it shows us the path that we need to go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, well, we're just beginning this wonderful section, which exposes all the false stuff out there about callings in ministry and all this stuff, and reveals the truth concerning how the Lord Jesus calls those unto the ministry of the Word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.